This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
What happens when advice comes with advertising attached? Well, OpenAI has confirmed it plans to introduce ads into the free version of ChatGPT, at least in the United States. And it says it will, the ads will sit separately from answers, as in they won't influence outputs. But once advertising becomes part of the business model, I guess the incentive changes. So what does advertising do to something that is built on trust? Raffaello Ciriello is a senior lecturer in business information systems at the University of Sydney. Raffaello, welcome to Drive.
Thanks for having me.
Now, when ads enter AI systems like ChatGPT, what are the risks we should be paying attention to, do you think?
Well, the main risk is probably that users get turned into the product that is being sold to the advertiser, right? As the history of social media has told us, once the large platforms like YouTube, Facebook, and so on adopted targeted advertising, what happened rather quickly is that they would monetize our attention. They would try to the best of their abilities to retain our attention, to keep us engaged in the platform by feeding us content that is presumably aligned with our interests. And that is something that advertisers, you know, including political advertisers, commercial advertisers, and so forth, will be willing to pay large sums of money for. And that can sometimes conflict with, you know, the common interest.
Raffaello, if we're asking AI for advice and an ad appears, for example, beside the answer, even though they might say, look, it's, you know, it's completely separate, how powerful is that timing in terms of the advice that we're receiving and how we interpret it?
Well, I think the first question we should ask is, can we really trust OpenAI's promises to uphold these voluntary safeguards, right? We know from countless examples, from health star ratings to gambling advertising, that voluntary self-regulation does not work, right? As soon as, you know, ethical conflicts inevitably arise, corporations will prioritize the bottom line over, you know, the people. And so the risk is that, you know, right now OpenAI may promise these things, which may sound pretty, you know, reassuring, but over the last 15 years in the history of social media, similar promises have been made and repeatedly broken once the big dollars came in through the advertising business model. And with chatbots, we actually are likely to see an escalation of these dynamics, because chatbots function as much more trusted infrastructure than social media.
And I imagine that, you know, once we've been interacting with a chatbot with such as ChatGPT, that our information is in there, isn't it? We can't exactly take it out.
Yeah, so if you read OpenAI's privacy policy, which nobody does, but I did it for work, then they generously take out the right to store your information for as long as necessary to offer their services, you know, meaning indefinitely, on whichever of their servers, either in the United States or offshore or in third-party providers. So they have generous rights to take your information, to store it, to monetize it, to infer, you know, fine-grained behavioral insights about you. You know, think about how good social media algorithms are at, you know, detecting what content you like after spending some time there and then feeding you the same content. With chatbots, you disclose information about yourself and people around you that you wouldn't disclose on social media because it's public. For many people, a chatbot is something like a trusted confidant or a super assistant, as OpenAI calls it. And so you reveal much more sensitive information about yourself, or a lot of people do at least. They probably shouldn't, but that's what's happening.
We're chatting with Raffaello Ciriello from the University of Sydney about OpenAI's plan to introduce advertising into ChatGPT and what that could mean for trust and influence. I'd love to hear from you as well. Does it worry you, ChatGPT with ads, or is it simply the price of using a free service? Raffaello, OpenAI says it won't sell our conversations, but how much behavioral data is still needed to target ads effectively?
So even if they uphold that promise, which is worth questioning, but let's assume they uphold that promise, they don't actually need to sell that data, right? So from the information that they already have, from their now nearly 1 billion weekly active users, they can infer a lot from, you ask it about, weekend plans, you ask about diet advice, you ask about, why the baby isn't sleeping or feeding. Some people discuss their finances, their health, their workplace struggles. So the more private information you feed into the chatbot, the more tailored ads it can show to you. And it is probably not a coincidence that around the same time, just a couple of days or weeks ago, we saw the emergence of this self-caricature trend, right? This is where people are now also feeding kind of like facial information about themselves, their faces, their photographs, information about their jobs, what they're doing. So the business model is clear, right? So the more personal information the platform has collected about you, the more effective it becomes at tailoring advice and content to you. And that is something that advertisers are willing to pay large sums of money for, because it can change behavior, not always for the better.
Is it worth just using tools like ChatGPT just for work purposes and not necessarily giving it any personal information at this point, given that we don't know what's going to happen with this advertising?
Yeah, so I think caution is definitely warranted, right? So personally, what I would advise share among different communities that I work with, from policymakers to young people in schools and teachers, is, be very, very selective with what you're putting into a chatbot, if you even have to use it, right? It's not mandatory to use it. We have lived perfectly fine lives before chatbots arrived. Mm. But if you use it, well, it can be advantageous as a work tool. Even there, you need to be careful with, private data. For instance, imagine I would put information about my students or their grades or their mental health struggles into an AI chatbot. That would rather quickly get me a disciplinary inquiry. So you need to respect the workplace policies. Mm-hmm. When it's about your private information, it's the same thing, right? So you need to assume that whatever you tell a chatbot, you might as well consider it public, right? Because it is effectively, it is on the servers of a corporation, but it might get hacked, it might get leaked, it might end up in their training data. So you might be better advised to be very careful about revealing anything about your health, your finances, your relationships, your mental health. That is very sensitive information that, we normally would require very strict privacy regulations for, but we currently don't have appropriately updated privacy and health regulations for these things. So it's very much a Wild West.
Raffaello, on that, just, with the social media, the horse bolted and we missed the, we're playing catch up with privacy. Do you think there is an opportunity now for the government to do something and get on board with, addressing privacy concerns before this target advertising happens?
Yeah, so the optimistic note is that with AI, the dysfunctional patterns have not yet become as entrenched as with social media. Mm. Right, with social media, we are more in damage control mode, because anything else is politically just not possible or too expensive, and we rely on it already so much. With AI, there's still a narrowing window of opportunity where we can take action and influence the future more positively, chiefly by learning from the mistakes with social media, not repeating them, and considering how AI chatbots amplify the stakes.
Could AI become more pervasive than social media ever was, do you think? Has it got the potential?
I think it's already getting there, right? So what we're seeing is ChatGPT has broken all records in terms of adoption, you know, reaching 100 million users within just a few weeks. We're now talking about nearly 1 billion users, and it's still early days, right? Mm-hmm. And the types of disclosures and attachments that people are forming with chatbots are just unlike anything we've seen before with social media. So it's very much an acceleration and amplification of the dynamics that we have seen on social media. That's not the whole story. Of course, chatbots are different from social media in that they are, you know, they're more like personalized, interactionalized. They can simulate human-like relationships. It's not something you can do on social media, but some of the lessons can be applied here too.
This interesting comment here from Anthony in Brunswick saying, if I'm asking for advice and seeing gambling promos, that's a problem.
100%, right? I mean, for how long have we debated here in Australia that the population overwhelmingly wants tighter restrictions on gambling advertisement? The government is just not moving in a meaningful direction to actually do that, right? So we still see them everywhere. The listener is rightfully concerned about this. Gambling and other health harming information like, you know, alcohol, unhealthy diets, ultra processed food, tobacco, vaping, all of these things that, you know, are purely mostly there for private profits while externalizing the harms to the public. That is one of the main concerns that I have with this move to targeted advertising in ChatGPT.
Rafaela, I'm really glad we had this conversation. I'm sure many people are. Thank you so much for chatting with us today.
Thanks for having me. That was a good conversation. Thanks.
Thank you. That was Senior Lecturer Rafaela Ciriello from the University of Sydney. Now, if you...
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.